103, 2 says, bless the Lord and forget none of his benefits. And I think we're all the same. We get busy with our lives and God blesses and blesses and blesses them. We just keep, you know, like a kid at Christmas, where's the next present? You know what I mean? Instead of really thanking the Lord or remembering all he's done. Jeremiah 2:32 says, my people have forgotten me days without number. So the Bible is full of the children of Israel forgetting the Lord. Deuteronomy 8:11-14, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God when you are satisfied. When we get satisfied is when we tend to think we don't need the Lord so much. So forgetting God is not just memory loss, it's a shift in heart. It usually happens when life is comfortable and we start thinking we did it all ourselves. So I want to take us on a walk down memory lane where we can see the faithful hand of God and all that he has been able to accomplish in women's ministry in these past 15 years. Gary and I were the new guys on the block, and the precious people of Calvary Chapel Santee had experienced the tragic loss of their pastor, Jay Kalischer, in 2010. Yet they welcomed us as family, and God began to build something beautiful, just like he said he could do in Isaiah 61:3. I will give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. They were weeping over losing their pastor. They loved him. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We saw the hand of God working as he was able to heal the brokenhearted and give beauty for ashes to a group of people who were mourning the loss of their pastor. We had no idea what God was going to do. We just trusted his hand and his lead. Gary and I were older now, not as nervous, and coming from a mega church, our hearts longed for a close church family and the unity that it provides. What a beautiful work God has done in building this family and uniting our hearts over the past 15 years. Last week, our women's Bible study completed its 21st book of the Bible. I said 20th, but it's the 21st book of the Bible. Because I forgot we did the book of Psalms. I hope to stir your memory and that you will be able to walk away today praising God for all he has done in your life over the past 15 years as you've attended this women's ministry. The first book that we taught was the book of John. One of the first books that we studied in women's ministry was the book of John, and it was called Follow Me. And we learned how to follow Jesus. Then the next one, or one we did, was the Gospel of Matthew. Behold our King. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. As we make him the King over our life, then we can rest. The book of Romans was called The Power of God. Romans 1:10 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God that brings salvation. The book of 1 Corinthians was called United in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, I appeal to you that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you. It was a call to unity. The book of 2 Corinthians was complete in Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are sufficient in ourselves, our sufficiency comes from God. The book of Galatians was called Freedom in Faith. Galatians 5:1 said, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened with the yoke of slavery and going back under the law. You've been saved by grace. The book of Ephesians was called Rags to Riches. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of his grace. So as we stand in Christ, as we follow Christ, as we read the word, do our personal devotions and worship God, we are rich women, far richer than anybody who has tons of money. The book of Philippians was called Living Joyfully. Philippians 2:2 says, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit. The book of Colossians was called Our Glorious Hope. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you is your hope of glory. The book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians was called Blessed Assurance. 1 Thessalonians 9 through 10 says, "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through Jesus Christ." So we learned about our blessed assurance in Christ. The books of 1 and 2 Timothy was called Keeping the Faith. 1 Timothy 6:20 through 21 says, "Guard what has been entrusted to you. Turn away from godless chatter, opposing ideas, and what is falsely called knowledge." I love that, that we will guard, we will hide God's word in our hearts so that we might not sin against him, and that we will guard what has been entrusted to us and not fall for the stupid knowledge that the world dishes out. The books of Titus and Philemon were grace has appeared to all men. Philemon's 1:3-4 says, "Grace and peace." He prayed, "Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." He always thanks God for you, as he started that letter and taught them about grace. The book of Hebrews was entering the throne room. Hebrews 10:19-22, "We have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, full of assurance of faith." So we're able to walk right in. The curtain has been torn. We are able to come right into the presence of God, entering the throne room. The book of James was faith that pleases God. And James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, for she will receive the crown of life." So in James, we learn that trials can be blessings and that we can become more like Christ as we walk through them. The books of 1 and 2 Peter was hope in suffering. 1 Peter 6-7 says, "For a little while, you may have to suffer so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, even though tested by fire, will result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So we learn that we can have hope even in the midst of great suffering. And the book of Psalms was the power of the Psalms. And if you're struggling right now, and you want to be comforted this summer as we close, go over the book of Psalms. It's the most comforting book, I think, in the Bible. Psalm 3:3 says, "You, our Lord, are a shield about me, and you're the one that lifts my head." So if you're tired or if you're suffering or life has been hard and you feel like you're hanging low, he's the one who can lift your head. Just read the book of Psalms. And then finally, we did the book of Proverbs, which is probably was my favorite, honestly. I love the book of Proverbs. And we learned that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 1:23 says, "Turn to my reproof." Just that's what we did this year. You girls were faithful. And it's not easy to listen to reproof. None of us like it. But as long as we know it's coming from a heavenly Father, we can hear it. He said, "Turn to my reproof, and I will pour out my spirit on you, and I will make my words known to you." So that as we finish the book of Proverbs last week, I pray that's happened. I pray that God's word has become more alive to you than it's ever been. The only books we didn't cover were Mark, Luke, Acts, and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. And let me just say, am I so grateful that I did not have to teach the book of Revelation? Yeah, I'll let somebody else do that one. Gary can do that one. We had many women's retreats. The Upward Call of God. I have pictures of the thing. My Heart, Christ's Home. Heart and Soul. The Kingdom of God. Restore My Joy, Psalm 51. Redeemed and Restored. Puzzled with Kathy Adams. Strong Women, Soft Hearts with Paula Reinhart. Simplicity with Cynthia Heald. An Appetite for Excellence with Irma Presley. Even Though with Sandy McIntosh. And Great is Thy Faithfulness with Jean McClure. We had some great, can I get an amen? Did we have some fun women's retreats? Yeah, I love women's retreats. I love it when we go away for the weekend and we just get to laugh and make crafts and have skits and be girls. We did conferences. In the very beginning, I asked my friend Beth Martin from Maranatha Chapel. She did a conference called The Garden of Secrets, and it was for single women. Then we did the Secret Council of God, where I brought all my devotions up here, and I encouraged you girls to get serious about your devotions in the morning. Then last year, we did a Rooted conference for 2 days, and we learned about growing and having our roots go deep into God's word so that when the storms come, our trees would stand. And we also do a thing called the Wise Woman Boot Camp, which is a six, I think, or seven-week Saturday morning series on marriage and family. Chris wrote many skits to help bring home the message and kept us laughing as we learned from God's word. Shelley and Teresa became bums. Do you remember that? Shelley and Teresa became bums that needed Jesus. We had singing nuns, Nancy Foley, I can't remember who else was one of those. We had singing nuns standing up in front of the church to advertise one of our retreats. We've had talking trees, girls fighting in a car, some girls cooking, and a witch that got saved in our Kingdom of God retreat at the very end. I thought sure that Marietta wasn't going to let us come back because we actually had a witch that got saved. Plus 21 monologues for our Heart of the Women's study. Wasn't that fun? Learning about all those girls every week, a new girl of the Bible. We were able to accomplish all this because many of you stepped up to the plate and served on worship teams, prayer teams, skit teams, hospitality teams, craft teams, room moms, table leaders and assistants, and childcare workers. Some of you even taught workshops. It takes many arms to be able to love many women. So thank you for all that you did. Over the years, God united our hearts as women. And let me tell you, that is not a small accomplishment. Women do not naturally encourage one another. They usually are in competition with each other. They're one-upping each other. I got a better stroller than you. I got a better house than you. I got a better diamond ring than you. I got a better husband than you. They're always competing with each other. And so it takes a lot. It really takes a lot for the Holy Spirit to bring women together and teach them how to love each other. A lot of women say they would rather hang out with men. And that's basically what a lot of us did in high school because women were too scary, emotional, and complicated. I can't tell you the girls that come to me and say, yeah, I really didn't have any girlfriends in high school because high school was hard and competitive. But what I have seen God do over these past 15 years is incredible. We really did learn how to do Zephaniah 3:9, and God blessed our feeble attempts to call on the name of the Lord and serve him shoulder to shoulder, connect and love each other. There were Tuesdays when I stood here, watched, and could barely hold myself together. The worship lifted my soul into heavenly places, and I could feel the pleasure of God as we were with one voice, as a sweet aroma, like we did this morning, that sweet aroma going up into the presence of God. God united our hearts and built something otherworldly, and we all got to be a part of it. Most of you know, if you know me at all, I really do love Jesus, and I have tons of ideas. But no organizational skills and no navigational skills. Jesus handpicked very gifted women to stand next to me and pick up the slack, and I am forever grateful to them. Everything that we accomplished over the years was because of the leadership of the women's board. Nancy Foley, Darla Grise, Christina Bellin, Marianne Patterson, Amanda Dufour, and my partner in crime, Chris Dunsmore. We offered our two fish and loaves, and God multiplied it. He always provided for the worship and sound, which is very hard to do in a women's ministry. He always provided the right amount of table leaders to guide and disciple, and that's what you've been doing. Go ye into all the world and make disciples. That's what you're doing at your tables. He always provided the study builders to write our studies, and he brought just the right girls alongside me to help teach the word. And we tackled some pretty big projects. One year, we made neck warmers. Does anybody remember that? We made neck warmers, and we filled them with junk. and then you put them in the microwave. I think we made 130 neck warmers from scratch. We painted signs and gave them away at our Kingdom of God retreats for prizes on our retreat. Another year, Cheryl Cooper, is she here, Cheryl? Yeah. Cheryl Cooper and many of her friends got out their sewing machines and made 150 bags for our Redeemed and Restored retreat to give away as gifts. I mean, you women are amazing. The women in this church are over the top amazing. I've never seen a church like this. So if you have helped us in any way over the past 15 years, would you please stand? Just stand. Come on. Stand. Please stand. If you've been on a prayer team, if you've helped do the craft, if you've been a hospitality person on the women's retreat, any it doesn't matter, big or small, your arms counted. And I want you to know that. And let's just give them a hand. And I just want to say thank you. You can sit back down. Thank you for helping us, because you helped us build a broad foundation so that many, many women could feel loved. The reason this women's ministry is strong is because of all of you. You didn't just go to church on Sunday. You put yourself out there to love and serve, and that is what has made the difference. Hundreds and hundreds of women and young girls just getting started in life have felt safe and loved and able to come to this, come and be a part of what we're doing because you helped us. Matthew 16:25, Jesus said, whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. It's when we give ourselves away in loving and serving others that we truly find the abundant life that God promised. You put feet on your faith and learned how to love and serve the women at Calvary Chapel Santee, and what a beautiful community God has built. It wasn't a few women doing all the work, and that's usually what you see in a church. It's a handful of women doing all the work. It was an army of women that built a broad, strong foundation for the Lord to add as many women as he could. As a mom, I can't tell you how much this has meant to me. That I felt like I could do my job because I had so many girls helping me love the women here. And I wanted my girls loved well. I wanted the women that walked into this church to not leave feeling like they weren't touched in some way. I'm almost done. Satan wants to rob, steal, and divide. He hates it when women love each other like this, but we kicked him in the teeth. And this beautiful, loving women's ministry is living proof of it. I just want to say thank you for having the courage to step up and help us accomplish all that we did. And I pray you will continue to serve and love each other until Jesus comes. Keep growing, girls. Don't get stagnant. Keep growing. Pass it off to the next generation. Keep surrendering. And keep following hard after Jesus. Amen? Okay, now I'm going to ask my women's board to come up. Did I do okay? Ooh. Yeah, I did do. We have time. I wasn't going to cry. Thank you, Chris, for putting the tissues up here. I think I want you up here. And even though I'm crying, I can't tell you how excited I am about the young person that God has raised up to be my Timothy. I met Amanda 15 years ago, and we hit it off immediately. We became friends immediately, and she was so teachable and so wanting to learn and grow, and she was the youth pastor's wife at the time. And so even though I'm sad or crying, I'm happy because I do see that God is going to continue this ministry, that it's not going to fade out. It's probably going to get even way better because the baton is going to be passed to the next generation. And God knows exactly what he was doing in raising up Amanda. I just pray that God will raise up a team around her the same way he raised up a team around me. So I ask you to pray for her. It's a big responsibility. And I ask you to pray for her. I just want to get something over here.
Oh, wait, try over here.
Oh, me moved it all.
Nancy moved it all.
Yeah. Closer. She's a decorator.
Yes. And this is my favorite women's ministry book. And so if you would just bow your heads and pray with me, we're just going to lay hands on Amanda and pray that God will guide and direct the future. Father, I just thank you so much for this beautiful young woman. I thank you for her family, Lord, for Chris and the kids and how she's raising her children to love you with all their hearts. And there's just proof of your presence in their home. And so, Lord, I just pray right now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would anoint her, Lord, that you would give her the wisdom that she needs. Father, I pray that you give her the courage that she needs. And, Lord, help her to not be afraid to make mistakes. Help her to walk in your grace, Lord. And I also pray, Jesus, that you would surround her with godly women that would help her carry the load, that she wouldn't think that she's alone. And that you would speak, that she would hear you say, this is the way, walk in it, Amanda. Mm-hmm. That you would be clear with her and direct, and she would know exactly what you're asking her to do. Yes. And so we just lay our hands on her this morning, Lord, and pray that you would anoint her with the power of your Holy Spirit to run the women's ministry. We thank you for her, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's it.
Okay, Meef's perspective is different than mine. I was kind of a snotty brat when you came, actually. That's my perspective, but whatever. I like your version of me better. We want to thank you for all your years that you've poured into all of us. You have truly been a Titus II woman. You took a lot of us that were snotty little brats when you came who were hurt, and you were patient with us, you were gracious with us, and you loved us, and you taught us what it was like to be a wife and a mom, and how to love others. I wasn't going to cry either. And so we thank you for that. And it's an honor to follow in your footsteps. And I'm going to do the best that I can with what God's given me. Just like you did.
And that's all I did. Amen.
Just like you
Amen.
Did. So we have for me.
These are for you.
Thank you.
And then the Zephaniah 3:9 verse.
Oh, wow.
And then
we have.
You can hold it.
You can hold it. Okay. And then there's a Proverbs. We have the Proverbs ESV journal for her. If it didn't make it around to your table and you still want to sign it, it'll be down here in the front and you guys can all sign it and just. To encourage me and just let her know all the things that she has done for you in your life. So, thank you.
Read the Zephaniah out loud.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Zephaniah out loud. I was like, for then I will restore to the people's pure lips so that all of them may call on the name of the Lord to serve him shoulder to shoulder, Zephaniah 3:9. And that's still our vision, is to continue to do that.
And I'm not going anywhere.
No.
This is still my church. Even though Gary and I are stepping back, this is our church family. So. And we did it all in time to get your babies.